This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, September 11, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A 72-unit apartment project in Lowell is helping to address West Michigan's shortfall of affordable housing. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us half the units will be reserved for middle-income residents.
The Wheeler Development Group recently broke ground on the Lowell Flats project, a three-building apartment complex in the 1100 block of Bowes Road in Lowell. The development features 54 one-bedroom units starting at just over $1,500 per month and 18 two-bedroom units starting at nearly $1,700 per month. 36 of the apartments are supported by the Michigan State Housing Development Authority's Brownfield Housing Tax Increment Financing Program, supporting affordable housing development. According to Wheeler Development Group, those 36 units are reserved for residents earning up to 100% of the area median income, or just over $85,000 for a two-person household. Work on the project began last month. Completion is scheduled for next summer. According to a recent study from Housing Kent, nearly half of renters in Kent County spend over 30% of their income on housing, with around 25% spending over half their income on rent. I'm David Limbaugh.
In remembrance of September 11, West Michigan firefighters and supporters held a memorial stair climb honoring the emergency workers who gave their lives. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with a retired firefighter about why he continues to remember the fallen.
25 years ago, I was on duty in the city of Grand Rapids, and I remember watching the events across really the East Coast unfold.
Kevin Selmayr later became a state fire marshal. Today, he represents the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation, which organizes annual stair climbs across the country to pay tribute to firefighters, police, and EMS workers killed on September 11, 2001.
It's a foundational part of the fire service that will put our life in danger to help save other lives. That's the part that is so strong with the first responder community. They went to work that day just like we'd go to work too if we had a similar event.
For the Grand Rapids climb, participants gather at LMCU Ballpark, climbing stairs the equivalent of the World Trade Center's 110 stories. Symbolically finishing the journey, many did not.
A lot of those firefighters made multiple trips up and down those stairs, and they were working to get people out of the Trade Center. And we know this because survivors share the stories of their encounters with the New York City Fire Department.
Proceeds from the stair climb support local firefighters and fund programs for families of the fallen nationwide. I'm Dee Morrison.
Trinity Health West Michigan is expanding access to care in the region with a multi-million dollar expansion. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Trinity Health West Michigan Medical Group is adding cardiovascular services near Rockford and will soon open a new primary care location in Allendale Township. The $2.9 million cardiovascular expansion in the 6,000 block of Northland Drive Northeast in Plainfield Township complements cardiovascular services currently offered at its Grand Rapids, East Paris, and Byron Center locations. In Allendale Township, Trinity Health is opening a new primary care office in the 11,000 block of Edgewater Drive. The $3.6 million office will also offer pediatrics, urgent care, and walk-in x-ray services. Scheduled to open November 2nd, it will also offer mobile mammography and OBGYN services. A renovated geriatrics clinic within the Wege Medical Center at 300 Lafayette Avenue Southeast in downtown Grand Rapids opened this summer. Vice President of Operations Julie Lepzinski said, quote, "Rather than spending on additional hospital capacity, we are investing in initiatives that will increase access to care across the Grand Rapids region and bring more primary care, heart care, and specialized services closer to where people live and work," end quote. I'm David Limbaugh.
Grand Rapids is launching a new pilot program to turn local musicians into thriving small businesses. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
The Phase Zero program aims to formalize a creative economy. Ahmad Hardy, business developer with the Office of Equity and Engagement, is leading the initiative.
It's really just to encourage more local businesses or local venues to have more live music, similar to what you see in Austin and Nashville, where you just go to a coffee shop and you hear music. You go to a restaurant and you hear music, or you see somebody doing some kind of performance.
The Phase Zero pilot program will assist up to 18 local musicians to be certified as micro-local business enterprises and be paid as city vendors for free public performances in the Third Ward South Prize event during Art Prize.
So it's really to inspire those small businesses we already already have in our multiple business corridors to use music as a form of placemaking. If it goes smoothly, it will provide more opportunities for musicians and performing artists.
Phase Zero is under the Cultural Business Enterprise Initiative, partnered with the Michigan Music Alliance. If the pilot proves successful, the program may expand citywide in 2027 to include other creative fields. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. On Thursday, the Michigan Senate again passed 9 policy proposals that the governor vetoed this summer. Colin Jackson has more.
The vetoes came after a long legal fight with the Michigan House of Representatives to get the bills, which were passed more than a year and a half ago, to the governor's desk. Among the resurrected bills is a policy to create stronger wage garnishment protections for people in debt. Democratic State Senator Jeff Irwin says Michigan allows debt collectors to take too much.
We allow debt collectors to even seize not just tax returns, but also the earned income tax credit, unlike most other states.
But Republican Senator Jonathan Lindsay says it would arbitrarily shield people from paying debts.
It's going to hurt our small businesses. It's going to hurt the people that would be recipients of collecting that money.
The bills are almost certain to stall out in the Republican-controlled state house. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Some education advocates in Michigan are urging Governor Gretchen Whitmer to decline participation in a new federal tax credit program. Starting next year, people can qualify for a new tax credit, up to $1,700, if they donate to a pre-approved scholarship program for K-12 students. Pamela Pugh is president of the State Board of Education in Michigan. She says the overwhelming majority of schools that have scholarship programs are private, so it's likely that's where most of the money would go.
So instead of asking, how can public schools get a piece of a voucher money, we should be asking, why aren't we fully funding the public schools that educate our children in the first place?
Whitmer said earlier this week she is awaiting full guidance from the U.S. Treasury before making a decision. Focus West Michigan is made for all, powered by you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman are back in Practical Magic 2, a sequel to their 1998 hit. The Uprising is a medieval drama that mixes history and myth, starring Andrew Garfield and Jamie Bell. Runner is a comedy action film starring Owen Wilson, and The Fix stars Liam Neeson in another action movie. Plus, Oasis Don't Look Back in Anger is a documentary concert movie about the return of the British rock band. All that and more from WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf in his weekly movie talk with Zach Rigetti from Studio C.
Zach, we have Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman returning in Practical Magic 2 as Sally and Gillian Owens. And now we have Joey King and Maisie Williams playing Sally's daughters. And there's a bit of a weird conflict going on and trying to keep the family safe, and Sandra Bullock character and Nicole Kidman apparently go to the UK, I believe. Is that correct? And that's all I know. So tell us more about Practical Magic 2.
Yeah, I mean, the original came out in 1998. It was sort of this, like, you know, it wasn't a major hit at the box office, and I think kind of grew this following, you know, shortly thereafter, and is sort of in this, like, cult classic, you know, aspect of a film. And so, yeah, we're back roughly 25 years after that. And so it's this thing around, right, the Owens curse, and the fact that if they fall in love with anyone, that person dies. And they have really kept that information from her daughters. And I mean, even in the first movie, you know, she makes sure that her daughters aren't really taught or told about sort of magic and things like that. And so that leads to, you know, them being grown up and understanding and obviously wanting to fall in love and, you know, maybe even falling in love, but then sort of sends them down the spiral of, like, sort of chasing after what is this, you know, mysterious curse that's being talked about. What, how does it affect our lives? You know, what is sort of our family history? And it's very, like, on, it's very on par with the original, I feel. And then also at the same time, it's still very different. I feel like the original was very much like this sort of, like, comedy crime thriller based on the plot. But then, like, this one is still more you know, you got the comedy, but it's the sisters, it's the...
And the daughters.
And the daughters.
And also the Stockard Channing and Diane Wiest return as Sally and Jillian's aunts, who are longtime witches too.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, it is the whole cast. It's so fun to just come back. And it's the, if you love Practical Magic, if you've, you know, found it afterwards and have since loved it since it, you know, came out in 1998, like this is your movie. It very much mirrors or just, you know, is sort of this, the passing on of generations in these sort of bring back movies that we've had over the past years where we get the next sequel that's 25 years later, but it is sort of this baton of generational handoff that's happening. So, it's super fun and it just sort of hits the same full good notes. There's a Book of Magic, you know, obviously that sort of sends them down the spiral into the UK and what that holds and potentially could that break the Owens curse that's, you know, haunted them their entire lives.
Also, we have The Uprising, which is inspired by the 1381 Peasants' Revolt in England, and also the poem Piers Plowman by William Langland, which may have been the first reference for Robin Hood. And this stars Andrew Garfield as Plowman and also Jamie Bell as John Ball, who was a historical figure who was a priest that was very pivotal in the Peasants' Revolt. And this looks like a very intriguing movie.
Yeah, it's, this historical piece of, you know, information that's sort of been passed on, right? It's England through the tensions of, like, sort of Black Death going across.
Yeah, this is in the 1381 Peasants' Revolt was in the wake of the Black Death and how that just ravaged England, actually ravaged all of Europe.
And in addition to that, you've got these... high taxes that are coming down too from, you know, the state and the, because of the 100-year war that they just had, 100 years war that they had with France. And so that sort of all, you know, builds up until, you know, we sort of open the floodgates and this revolt essentially starts. And it's this sort of like bloody, gory action, historical drama with Andrew Garfield's character, who is kind of put as, Wat Tyler's, who it was sort of like the big main, leader of the rebellion, and him against, the 14-year-old King Richard II. And so it's directed by Paul Greengrass, who did Captain Phillips, News of the World, and some of the Bourne films. And so you get that sort of historical piece, but then again, you get that sort of action grittiness that the Bourne films had carried into this a lot. And I think, you know, it's one of those ones where I think I say this a lot when we talk about historical movies and like sort of like, you know, biopics and stuff. It's like you watch them and then I feel like my favorite part about these is like you experience the film, you experience the story that they're telling, the director wants to tell. And then you get to sort of go back or after and do all the research and, you know, and learn more about sort of the events. And I think that's sort of what I love taking away from these films.
Well, and it's not just historical, though. There's a lot of mythology here, too, as well. So it's not just what really happened. It's the mythology that came out of what really happened.
Right.
Also, we have Runner, which I believe this is an Angel film. And it's an action comedy starring Owen Wilson and Alan Ritchson. It's directed by Scott Waugh and written by Miles Hubley and Tommy White. It is an Angel film, isn't it?
It is. And this is, again, the continuation of sort of Angel Studios branching out into sort of different genres of film. You know, films that amplify light is sort of their, you know, niche. And, you know, so their branding. But they sort of have expanded. And again, they have a system in which, like, there's guild members who vote on the content that they want Angel Studios to be making, and they are also acquiring content that is still voted on by guild members. And so, yeah, it's interesting to watch them sort of expand into this next, you know, new genres and stuff. But yeah, so Alan Ritchson is essentially a former soldier who is essentially put alongside Owen Wilson, who are racing against the clock to essentially deliver a liver to this dying girl in this hospital. And it's sort of this box, you know, there's a box and everybody wants the box kind of movie where, you know, they realize that this, you know, the liver will go on sale in the black market for a very high price. And so their journey from point A to point B is very difficult because they have all these different groups of people who are essentially trying to track them down.
Well, and of course,
and obtain the box.
And sorry to interrupt, but yeah, and Owen Wilson is the comic relief here. He's the guy carrying the liver. He just wants to make the delivery move on, and all of a sudden he's roped in with Alan Ritchison, who's the action hero.
Correct, totally. And so you get that sort of like buddy comedy action, you know, aspect of this. And yeah, you know, eventually whatever car they're in, I'm sure they'll lose and then have to find another car along the way. But yeah, again, it's sort of interesting to sort of see Angel expand into new genres.
And then we have Liam Neeson returning in a Liam Neeson film called The Fix, directed by Guy Mosha, written by Guy Mosha and Mark Bacci.
Yeah, what I love about this one is it's a Liam Neeson movie, except for the fact that Liam Neeson, for the most part, isn't the one holding the gun. So Zachary Levi is also in this movie, and he is sort of, you know, what we would come to expect the Liam Neeson characters to do. But he is a CIA operative who essentially is, you know, they run a whole sting in Afghanistan. It goes awry. They sort of all get dismissed because of it. And then they know, or Liam Neeson's character, who is the one who sort of sits in the big room, you know, and controls the whole situation as it happens, you know, gets word of some about $25 million that is like in some wall in wherever they were in Afghanistan. And so this sort of like becomes a sort of crime thriller, you know, where they're going to go now back to where they were and try and find this money in the wall. And, you know, there may or may not even be that money there. It might actually lead into them opening up, you know, a can of worms and more things and undercover, you know, more truths that, you know, they didn't know, either related to their missions or other missions and the organization. And so, yeah, it's this sort of like Liam Neeson film with Liam Neeson being this sort of like support character in the war room, which is super fun.
Also, we do have two documentaries, Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger, which is about the rock band, which reunited a year ago, and they're on a world tour as we speak. And then also American Doctor, which is about three doctors who travel to Gaza and Israel and are helping people in Gaza who have been impacted by the Israeli strikes.
Yeah, I mean, both are look like incredible documentaries. Oasis coming back after 25 years, or sorry, not after 25 years, but reuniting in 2025 for their tour. You get sort of behind the scenes access, backstage access. You get interviews with them, and then obviously, you know, part of the concert that they, you know, performed. And then, you know, the flip side of that, American Doctors, yeah, these physicians that, you know, travel to Gaza and are there to help and aid and, you know, these children's hospitals, and then having to sort of like come back and also deal with the fact of like, how is America supporting, you know, either side and the impact that that has in the hospitals that they're literally, you know, there are dying children and kids that they're trying to save on a daily basis. And so that one opened at Sundance this year, and it's a very moving and incredible documentary.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, September 11, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.